Blog Talk Radio.
In Sports Talk. Today is Wednesday, September 12th. Before we get started, here are a few reminders. We would love to hear from you, and here are several ways to weigh in. Call us at 646-716-5564. If you prefer not to talk, join us in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/Tarvino, or follow us on Twitter at Weigh In Sports. Now here's your host, Brian Tarvin, and co-host, Trey Patterson. Let's weigh in.
Thank you, Michelle, for the introduction. How are you doing tonight, Trey?
Oh, doing well, man. Doing well. Ready for another week of football.
Yes, I am as well. And it's, you know, each week it's getting a little more dramatic, Trey. The games start getting bigger, bigger, and bigger. This week we have a lot of games going on that are very important. You don't hear a lot of chatter about it. This week, as much as you have the last couple of weeks. But, Trey, there's some big games in the NFL and in college this week.
Yeah, I think some of the NFL games, for an early, you know, matchups, you have some very critical games for some teams just because of the sheer numbers that, you know, become starting off 0-2 and such. So we'll talk about that. But, Tarvin, yeah, a lot going on.
A lot going on, and just let people know, get in the chat room if you can. Usually it takes 5-10 minutes for people to get logged in, getting ready for the show. So Sonia's in, we have a guest in, so make yourselves at home, ask all the questions, call in, like Michelle said, 646-716-5564. Well, Trey, let's get started here. Tonight we're going to talk about the NFL matchups we have for week two. After a shocking week one, we're going to break down our top 10 college football games of the week and, you know, maybe hit a little baseball there at the end. Trey, you ready to get started, buddy?
Yeah, let's do it, man.
All right, let's start out, man, right in the NFL. And I'll make an announcement real quick that our predictions, I'm going to keep our predictions up. And anybody out there listening that would like to be the scorekeeper, really, would like to tally Trey and I's picks, or anybody that picks the games on the chat room or whatever, if you'd like to be the scorekeeper, shoot us a message and let us know, because it's hard to keep up with all of it. And we want to be accountable, Trey. When I beat you, 11 out of 12 weeks, I need some glory, man.
Yeah, you want some bragging rights. And Tarvin, I mean, given the nature of your picks, I think you're going to want to try to keep up with me. So, you know, I think for those of you guys that are listening, you know, what we're looking for is kind of like if you've watched Pardon the Interruption on ESPN, somebody who can fact check us. Because, look, here's the thing. You know, when we're on the show, we want to make sure that we're not giving you guys bad information and that we're not misquoting or misrepresenting something. And when we pick games, we want somebody to be able to say, hey, no, Trey or Tarvin, you missed that one, and here's what you said. So if you're looking to be, you know, maybe part of it or get involved, let us know, because I think we're looking to make sure that that I can hold Tarvin accountable is really what we're looking for.
Hold me accountable? Well, what, I picked Auburn to start out 0-2. What are you talking about, Trey?
Yeah, me too.
Okay, so what we're going to do, and Chad's asking a question about the point spread, win or loss, or by the point spread or whatever. Yeah, do you just want to do a win or loss, Trey, the straight-up games, or do you want to?
Yeah, let's do win or loss. If you want to add in a second, you know, with the spread, we can do that as well.
Yeah, I like the spread. That's the best way to pick them. So, hey, let's get started. I mean, if week two of the NFL, Trey, is anything like week one, I'm going to be glued to my chair all day long. And I'm not an NFL fan as much. But here over the last year or two, I started really enjoying the NFL trade. Were you excited about week one? Did you see, you know, we reviewed the games and everything. So start out with the games that we're going to start picking, Trey. And you can start with five, and we'll work all the way up to one if you want to.
Yeah. And what we're doing is, you know, trying to pick, you know, to go through all the NFL and our top 10 games would take a long time. So we're trying to hit the best games that we see on the schedule and really talk about those games and why that we think they're so important. And these are the games that most of, I think, college or actually NFL fans are really wanting to see. And number five, Tarvin, I got Baltimore at Philly. And I think the big thing here is both these teams are 1-0, but both these teams look entirely different this past week. What do you think about this matchup, Tarvin? What do you think about Vic's performance going against this really great defense? I mean, Ed Reed set a record last week. I mean, this guy was going to retire, and here he is taking one to the house and setting a record and breaking Rod Woodson's all-time NFL record for touchdowns. What do you think about Baltimore's chances going to Philly?
Well, Philly's that team that they play to the level of their competition. I think being at home against a good Baltimore team that's coming off a short week, they played Monday night and played great. I like Philadelphia to be more consistent this week. They're up and down, Jekyll and Hyde. But this week, Trey, I have Michael Vick at home beating the Ravens, man. I think your quarterback for Baltimore, Flacco, is getting a little too much love already. And I think that Eagles defense is going to have a little something to say about it.
Yeah, that's an interesting prediction. Hopefully you're writing that one down, and this is where we need our fact checker. You know, Joe Flacco really, we talked about this before the preseason, you know, Tarvin, about Joe Flacco. Is he a great quarterback? Is he overrated? Is he underrated? If you look at Joe Flacco's numbers over the past few years, Tarvin, he's actually won about as many games as Drew Brees. He's like number two in the win since like 2008. This guy is proven to be a winner, Tarvin. He's got his team to the playoffs, 4 years in a row, something like that. And the Ravens look like gangbusters with their new offensive scheme coming out. They threw the ball more, and Joe Flacco really looked impressive. I didn't like what the Eagles did on the offensive scheme. They seemed to go away from LeSean McCoy in the first half of that game. They tried to bring him back in the second half, which is a much better scheme to rely off McCoy and then have Vic have a little bit more time for play action. If they go back to that, Tarvin, you may have a very good prediction. But what I see going into this game, even though the game is at home, and I agree that the Philly kind of plays up and down, but I think when you have Vic and the way that they scheme that game, I see problems for him against that good Ravens defense. And, you know, interesting comments in the chat room. Somebody said, hey, the Ravens actually won me my fantasy game. That was Chad Stevenson. And, you know, that's the kind of defense that the Ravens still have. So I think the Ravens are going to win this game, Garvin.
Well, but you know as well as I do, the Eagles are up and down. And when they play good teams, they play better, especially at home. Look for Andy Reid to have his troops ready. And the short week, Trey, does play into this. I mean, you played Monday night, even though you were at home. Now you're having the shorter days, shorter practice time. Where Philly's sitting at home, you know, they got that extra day of rest or practice, whatever they choose. No way Baltimore comes in and goes 2-0. Philly needs this game bad, Trey. Even though they won their first game, by luck, of course, Philly really needs this game to get some confidence going, man. And because Philly has been known to be up and down, up and down. If they get a win right here at 2-0, Trey, how are you looking at their season, Philly? Are you going to think they're for real if they win this weekend, or is the jury still out?
I think the jury will still be out. You know, what we saw from the NFL East was, you know, shocking that I think the Cowboys, you know, beat the Giants. And then we had the Redskins, like gangbusters, going into the New Orleans. So, you know, I think 2-0 is a start you're going to have to win this division. I think if Philly slips here and they lose to the Ravens and if they look poor, I think we're going to see, you know, this division really up for grabs for the Cowboys. I mean, I think a lot of people did not think the Cowboys were going to win this division. So we'll see. I think it's still a little too early to pick a division winner so far based on performances.
Well, I have a guaranteed prediction after this game. One team will be 2-0, Trey. So that's a good number five. Let's do number four.
You know, number four, you know, Tarvin, looking at the schedule, we got the surprising pro-style offense of the New York Jets going to the tough luck loser Pittsburgh Steelers. Tim Tebow was very little involved in the offense. Didn't even throw a pass in week one. And Pittsburgh lost a nail-biter to Peyton Manning, who, oh, by the way, you thought would not perform in the fourth quarter like he did. So what do you have here with the Jets and the Steelers?
Well, what do you say, Peyton Manning in the fourth quarter? I love Peyton, but, you know, if I speak negative about a player, it usually means they're going to play good. So I'm trying to use reverse psychology here. But in this game alone, I have Pittsburgh rebounding at home and beating the Jets by at least a touchdown, Trey. I really think Pittsburgh's a better team than the Jets. They went out on the road in Denver, tough crowd, tough environment. Peyton Manning's first game back. There was a lot at stake. Pittsburgh didn't look that bad, Trey. So I don't think the Jets can do it 2 weeks in a row. Look at their head coach if you want to talk about inconsistent. I like Pittsburgh winning this game, Trey. Easy.
You know, one of the things that as I watched Pittsburgh play was in that Bronco game was as soon as, you know, that great defensive scheme, you know, and you saw – you know, Troy Polamalu walk up to blitz or, you know, walk up to show a different look, you would have Peyton Manning calmly audible or calmly change his receiver's route. He had a lot of time to prepare for that defense and Troy Polamalu, who is a fantastic playmaker, Tarvin. Mark Sanchez is not Peyton Manning. I think Mark Sanchez looked great. They opened the ball, they opened the offense up for Mark Sanchez, but the problem is, I don't think Mark Sanchez is able to pick apart that defensive scheme that, you know, the defense of the Steelers are going to show. And it's Troy Polamalu and his playmaking ability. When he walks up to the line, what is Sanchez going to do? Because Polamalu has the ability to sort of blitz and not blitz. You know, he's able to change up what he's going to do. You know, and I don't know if Mark Sanchez can realize that like Peyton Manning did and make the right audible. You saw Peyton Manning audible to run several times, which would got, you know, Polamalu out of where he wanted to be. So I think in this game, Tarvin, I agree with you, Pittsburgh wins this game because Mark Sanchez can't keep up with the defensive scheme Pittsburgh has. And I think, you know, what's really crazy about this, Tarvin, is guess who might play? Rashard Mendenhall after his big knee injury. They're saying that he is getting back to the game strength already, which is terribly quick, Adrian Peterson-type quick. So I like Pittsburgh to win this game.
Yeah, I look for Pittsburgh to have a big day in the air against the Jets. I think the Jets are going to struggle on the defensive side of the ball. It could get ugly in this game, but I'm going to keep it within a touchdown. And I think everybody on the message board is really picking Pittsburgh. So on to number three.
And what's the spread of that game, Carmen? Do you have the spread up?
I think it is six.
Yeah,
Pittsburgh is favored six. Yeah.
I think Pittsburgh wins by the spread. It's just pretty easy on this game. I really do think they're going to give Sanchez nightmares.
And on the next game, I'll go ahead and give you the spread. We're going to do Green Bay at home against the Bears. Green Bay is favored, I believe, 6 points over the Bears, Trey.
6 points. And this is a Thursday night game, Tarvin. This game's tomorrow night. Green Bay, you know, not having, you know, much time to prepare. They didn't look very good on defense, and that was a problem for them last year, Tarvin, was the defensive scheme. But, you know, I got some numbers for you on Green Bay, Tarvin. This is why this game is so important. It's been basically 28 games for the Packers not to have a 100-yard rusher, which is the longest active streak in the NFL. The next longest is only 12 games. They're one-dimensional to prepare for, which is obviously easier to prepare for because, you know, you have to just look at one-dimensional even with Cedric Benson. However, Tarvin, Jay Cutler is 1-5 as a starter against the Packers with 7 TDs and 11 interceptions. What's important with this game, Tarvin, is that if you start 0-2, you have less than a 25% chance to make the playoffs, and the last time it was done was 2008. So let me ask you this. How important is this win for the Packers? Can this team – the team that was 15-1 last year fall to 0-2 against the Bears?
Not in this division. I think the division's tough with the Lions and the Bears and just the NFC in general. I think that this is a must-win game, Trey, for the Green Bay Packers at home. if they lose two games in a row, go 0-2, and they're both at home. I mean, well, what are you not seeing, man? Two home games, 0-2.
I think
it'll be hard.
If Green Bay loses this game, I mean, look out, because this could become the Bears division, and, you know, I know Quinn would be very happy with that. Because you do have, oh, by the way, the Detroit Lions in this division. So this is not a division that you can start off 0-2 right now. So here's the thing, Tarvin, is Greg Jennings may not play either, and they're saying that he wants to play, but they're not sure he's going to be medically cleared. So, you know, even Green Bay is going to, even though they have a huge stable of receivers, not having Greg Jennings could be an important blow as well. So, Tarvin, who do you have? The possible without Greg Jennings offense of Green Bay, or do you have the Bears?
I have Green Bay by two touchdowns in this game. I think they'll rebound. I think they played terrible. San Francisco really owned them Sunday, and it was embarrassing for Green Bay. So I think Green Bay comes back and rebounds at home in a big divisional game. And, Trey, before we get on and keep going, I have Quinn on the line right now. He's a big Bears fan, and he wants to say hello. Real quick, Quinn, how are you doing, bud?
I'm doing good. Two touchdowns, Tarvin? Are you kidding me?
I had to go with it. I just had to go with it, Quinn.
I think the Bears are going to cover the spread. I didn't talk any trash to Packer fans this coming week about their loss because of Thursday night, but I definitely think this will come down to like a field goal.
Well, I think 12 points is – when I say two touchdowns, I don't mean 14 points. I mean like 12 around there. And that's where I figure this game up, Trey. You know, I take the spread and I multiply it by two. I think Green Bay has the win, Quinn. That's the big difference. This is a must-win for Green Bay. Chicago has the luxury of winning week one. I think Green Bay is going to have to come out and want it more. And if they want this game more, I really believe they'll win, especially at home.
Yeah, but the Packers' defense is going to be very suspect. The Bears, I don't know if you saw this article, but the Bears called out the secondaries to be physical with Brandon Marshall and all the receivers. Cutler called out the Packers' secondary and said, "I dare you to go man-to-man with our receivers." He challenged them to go man-to-man and be physical with them, and he says he wants to win the battles that way. I thought that was just interesting.
But if you have Cutler and Aaron Rodgers, Trey, who's the better quarterback?
Well, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is the better quarterback. I mean, you look at historic numbers. I mean, that plays itself out. Jay Cutler, like I said before, struggled against the Packers. I think there are two players to watch.
Yeah, but Cutler's also hasn't had this many offensive weapons since he's been in Chicago, and this offensive line has done pretty good so far. I mean,
Cutler's had weapons with Denver, and he didn't put up numbers either.
True, but was he playing the Packers back then?
I believe one of those games was against the Packers that is in that record, yeah.
Okay, but my point is the Packers also, their really only pass rush threat is Clay Matthews. If we can get a few slants going on them.
I want to tell you right now, Quinn, that I know you're a Bears fan, and I hate people picking against my team. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to be bad for Chicago tomorrow night. So I'm going to do a show tomorrow night, actually, for a few minutes. So you can call in about 9:30 when this game's already in the bag. Give me a call. Let me know how you're doing. And we'll talk to you tomorrow night, sir. Thanks for the call. Trey, Quinn owned you again, as usual, man.
Well, you know,
Quinn,
here's the thing.
Quinn owned you.
We'll let that slide until tomorrow, but here's the two players to watch, Tarvin, and they're both on Green Bay, and if these two players have big nights, you'll see Green Bay roll. One is Jordy Nelson on the offense. If Jordy Nelson has over 100 yards and a touchdown, that'll mean the Packers' offense is in sync, and they're going to score a lot of points. But more importantly, Tarvin, it's Charles Woodson. And Charles Woodson has had big games against quarterbacks like Jay Cutler. And if Charles Woodson, you know, gets interceptions early, you know, if Green Bay can get a turnover against Cutler early, that's where Cutler seems to have problems recovering. Brandon Marshall has had problems with drops. And so if the Packers can assert any kind of defense early in this game and get a turnover, get in Brandon Marshall's head, that's when you'll see this game start pulling away. So those are the big keys for the Packers offense. In defense going into tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, this is a game though. I mean, this is going to ask Green Bay, how bad do you want it? I mean, how tough are you? Green Bay got exposed Sunday by the Niners. The Niners, Alex Smith is that new quarterback trade that's coming up, and he's looking good. He's a game manager. So, I mean, if you're Green Bay, what's your psyche right now, Trey, after losing that game like that? It was embarrassing. I watched it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one of the things that I heard a couple of people talking about, and I'm not sure this is true, but it's something worth watching, and they said that the San Francisco had probably the best offense in the NFL, and the reason was is because they're almost to a T balanced. And so it's hard to and to be honest, Alex Smith has not been a guy who's turned the ball over. I mean, he's the guy who's held onto the ball, he makes good plays when he needs to. So, you know, maybe folks are sleeping on the fact that the San Francisco 49ers can score consistently because they have Frank Gore, they have Hunter on running the ball, and they have Alex Smith. And, you know, Randy Moss scored a touchdown in week one, so who knows what Randy Moss is going to do this year, you know, in the old age of 50 or however old he is. But, you know, so Michael Crabtree, you know, they have a game-performing guy. So we'll see if that plays out, Carver. I'm not sold on their offense being, you know, best offense of the NFL. But they are balanced, and that really exposes defenses like Green Bay.
All right, so you're picking Green Bay?
I am.
Me too. So we're agreeing on a lot of things right now. All right, let's go to game two.
What's the spread for Detroit and San Francisco?
San Fran, 7-point favorite at home on Sunday Night Football.
Big game, Tarvin. Detroit looked ugly in their win. And San Francisco, as we just mentioned, dominated the 15-1 Green Bay Packers. Carmen, what do you think about this matchup? Can Detroit go into San Francisco and come out 2-0?
I really do think they can, Trey. And I'm going to take the 7 points, and I'm going to raise you a straight-up win. Detroit wins this game on the road in San Francisco week two. But I'm taking the safe bet. I'm taking the 7. I'm getting a cushion, Trey.
Wow, but you said, you know, straight up that they can cover.
Yep.
And all right. Do you think Detroit played down to the Rams last week, or do you think that the Rams are just that improved then?
I think a little of both. I think it's a little of both. It's hard to tell early this season, Trey, but I think Stafford is the real deal. Tanya said, uh-oh, Tarvin got some bass in that voice with that pick. She knows I'm serious with that one, right? But
yeah.
I just think Stafford's the real deal, and I think if they can get Nick Fairley to play with Dominican Sue, it's going to cause a lot of problems for San Francisco. It's a good matchup. This is a very, very good matchup. Probably the most intriguing matchup of week two, Trey.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting game. Do I think Detroit can win this game, Tarvin? I do. I think with the spread, I would take Detroit as well. But if I'm taking, you know, the ultimate winner, I think the 49ers, hold serve at home. Here's the reason I think so, Tarvin, is I think that with the running game and with some of the swing passes that Alex Smith was able to do against the Packers, I think that, one, it's going to neutralize some of the pass rush. But, you know, you got to think about it. The 49ers protect the passer pretty well. And with the running game, you know, everybody said, oh, Frank Gore is not going to have a big year. Well, he came out in week one and actually did very, very well. And I think some folks in the message board are talking about how Gore helped him out in their fantasy league. I think Chad Stevenson, I think he must have had a good week in week one because he had Gore as well. So, you know, one of the things that you got to look for is not only Gore, but Hunter is doing a very good job of helping them change the tune with a, you know, third down back and helping Gore get less, you know, workload. And that's going to help, you know, the 49ers down the road and going into the playoffs. I think that this game you'll see Alex Smith open it up a little bit as well. We'll get to see some of those receivers. I think this could be a little bit of a higher scoring game, as we both know, Tarvin, that Detroit can score.
for the over-under 46. And I think the difference in this game, San Francisco won't be able to get comfortable. Alex Smith won't be able to get comfortable. Green Bay's defense is garbage the other day, and it showed it was. Detroit has a front four that will get pressure on the quarterback without having to bring extra guys, Trey. That's the difference in why this game will be close. Matt Stafford's going to throw his. He's going to get his. Calvin Johnson's going to get his. But the defense of Detroit, the front four, will win this game, and that's why I'm picking the upset. I'm not very, very confident in it, but I like the pick. I think Detroit's one of those games you better watch out for.
And let me guess, Tarvin, we'll wait until the next show, and you'll change your pick mysteriously before the game when the 49ers win by three.
No, I mean, you know, you can't always go with the favorites, right? You have to mix it up a little bit.
All right. All right, so number one, Tarvin, the Monday Night Football matchup, the Denver Broncos.
Woo!
And Peyton Manning traveling to that new Atlanta Falcon offense. And this is where, you know, I disagreed with Sonny on the show one night when he said the Atlanta offense wasn't going to be as good. They certainly looked as good as I thought they were going to be this past week, Tarvin, really dominating the second half against the Chiefs. Of course, the Chiefs were down a few players on defense, but, I mean, Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, I mean, they looked fantastic. What do you have in this game, Tarvin?
Well, first of all, I want to go back to the chat room. Sonia's saying, or who was it? Quinn, or Chris Smelly said Quinn is posting in a message group that Brian Tarvin has a man crush on Green Bay. That's funny. Man, this game is at home, in the dome. Atlanta's looking good. Julio Jones is a freaking monster, Trey. And Michael Turner involved in this game. Denver coming off an emotional win against the Steelers, a physical game. It looked like the Falcons had a lot easier time in their game with Kansas City than Denver did with Pittsburgh. So I'm going to go with the Falcons to get it done by their favorite 3 points. And that's about what I like it. I like it around a touchdown, somewhere around there. The over-under is 51. So they're expecting a rather high-scoring game in this one, Trey.
Well, you know, Peyton Manning obviously didn't have a lot of people who wanted to doubt him after last week's performance against Pittsburgh. But one of the things, Tarvin, is he's got less time to adjust to the Falcon defense in this game, pick it apart. I actually think this game is going to be really, really close. I'm going to go against you, Tarvin. I'm going to take Denver on the road. I think this is a little bit of a surprise pick. I think the Falcons, we're going to see. And the problem I have with the Falcons in this game and why I'm picking against them is Denver's defense. Von Miller and the Denver defense actually looked really, really strong against Pittsburgh. There were, you know, 2 sacks for Von Miller. This guy's in his second year. He looks fantastic. I think they're going to be able to get pressure on Ryan. I do think this is going to be a high-scoring game. But I think a turnover could be the difference in this game, one single turnover. You know, which quarterback, you know, is going to fumble, which quarterback is going to throw the pick. You know, does Michael Turner, you know, lose the ball at some point? So I think Denver wins this game. You may have a big play from Eric Decker. If you have Eric Decker on a fantasy roster, he's one of my picks to click this week for fantasy.
Okay. Well, I like Atlanta. You like Denver. I think Matt Ryan's good enough at home to get it done. And there's a big home field advantage, especially a Monday night game in the dome. It'll be rocking. I mean, I remember those Saints-Falcons Monday night game, how loud it was. So they'll be ready for Peyton Manning. And you know everybody's going to buy a seat to see Peyton Manning. Even though they're a Falcons fan, they still want to see Peyton Manning play. Heck, I might even get out there Monday night, Trey, and see if I can get a ticket. But real quick, before we move on to college, there's a couple games out there, kind of just throw-in games. So the New York Giants, they're at home, favored 7.5, Trey, over Tampa. Real quick, who do you like?
I think the Giants rebound, but I think they don't cover.
Okay. I like I like Tampa Bay in this one, getting those points, just to cover, not to win. You're right. New England home 14 over Arizona. Kevin Cold is probable. Who do you like?
I think the Patriots win this big, Tarvin. I really, you know, whether it's Cold or Skelton, I don't know if either one of them plays particularly well in this game. I think the Patriots are going to, you know, they seem to have a different wrinkle they want to throw at each week. You know, Wes Welker got a lot of press. You know, he had his plays were down. I think Wes Welker has more plays this week. I think, you know, you're probably going to see a touchdown from Wes Welker in this game. I think Pats are going to win by over the spread.
Yeah, if you have a fantasy offense with New England, put everybody you can in that game because they're going to light it up. Kind of an upset alert. Can Andrew Luck get his first win? He's playing at home, underdog, 1.5 points of the Vikings, Trey. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he gets his first win, Tarvin. I think it won't be that close either. I think it'll be probably 6 to 7 points.
Not so fast, my friend, not so fast. I'm going Minnesota in this game to beat Indianapolis. I don't think Andrew Luck's quite ready yet. So the Gopher, Jason Minson, I'm picking your Vikings, man. You should be proud. All right, Trey, this is kind of a good game for you. We'll almost skip that one first. The Carolina, this is an interesting game that we didn't put on our list, but it makes my top if I'm looking at it. Carolina is at home, 0-1 start, playing the Saints 0-1. Saints are favorite 3, Trey. Who do you like?
You know, we talked about Cam Newton and the difference in adjusting. I saw a story about Cam Newton. Basically, they had the defense of Tampa Bay had a basic philosophy of how they were going to contain Cam Newton. There's a story on it, and I can't remember, I think it was on CBS. But basically, they were getting in Cam Newton's head that he apparently was dog-cussing some of the guys on the line, and as soon as they would tackle him because he was so frustrated. So I think that kind of scheme, you know, that keeping Cam Newton contained, keeping him one-dimensional, I think it is going to work. We're going to see Cam Newton more frustrated this year. I think the Saints are going to win this game, Tarvin.
Well, it's just kind of hard for me to imagine the Saints losing 2 in a row, but I did pick Carolina to take this division. And Carolina's at home. Cam Newton's at home, gets the crowd on his side. I think, you know, last year I believe they played against each other and Cam had a pretty good game. I think this year he has enough to get it done. Weapons around him. Carolina bounces back. The Saints are going to start out 0-2, Trey. What's going to happen with the Saints at 0-2?
Well, I mean, you know, the Saints are, if the Saints turn off 0-2, Tarvin, I don't think they make the playoffs this year.
No. And all that bounty gate garbage going on, it's a lot of stuff going on right now in New Orleans. So it's just a lot of distractions. Even though they got that overturned, I still like Carolina, but let's do a couple more. I know you're interested in Buffalo, Kansas City, Trey. Buffalo's at home, favorite 3. Who do you like?
I picked Kansas City to win their division, and I picked Buffalo to actually be a surprise team. You know, I was looking at some of the numbers. Ryan Fitzpatrick, I think, leads the NFL in interceptions since he signed his big contract last year in the second half of the season. He has been terrible decision making. One of his interceptions this past week, Tarvin, I thought he was sexually throwing to the defender. Like, it looked like he was running, the defender was running a route for him to throw at him. It was just, I could not believe that a quarterback who has experience would make that throw. It was a rookie quarterback, brand new, first game type of throw. I think that with some of the guys for Kansas City coming back in that game, Tarvin, I think Kansas City wins this game, not only with the spread, but win it outright.
Well, the thing that's interesting about this game, they just opened this game out at 7 points, Buffalo's favorite 7. It has dropped to 3. That's a lot of movement. Usually Vegas nails the NFL lines, unless there's a big injury or something and it moves, but there's a lot of movement in this line without it. Looks like everybody's betting on Kansas City in this game. But last but not least, Trey, there's an upset special brewing here. Dallas on the road, favored 3 at Seattle. Any chance Seattle comes out of here with a win?
You know, I don't think so. And, you know, the thing about, you know, this is another rookie quarterback, and we talked about how really poor most of the rookie quarterbacks looked. Tannehill looked awful. Whedon looked terrible. And I heard all these commentators saying that, oh, Russell Wilson, he was one throw away from getting an A grade in his first game. Well, I watched the game, Tarvin, and I didn't think his decision-making was anywhere near that kind of grade. The grades I did give a good, you know, grade to was Carr and Claiborne, the corners for the Cowboys, who looked fantastic against a much better passer and much better receivers than the Seattle is going to have. So I think Russell Wilson has a really bad game. I think he may throw 2 picks in this game, Tarvin. He may even fumble. I think he may have 2 or 3 turnovers. I think Dallas wins this game, and I don't think Russell Wilson gets a little bit of exposed.
Yeah, I think Dallas will win the game, probably around the point spread, 3 or 4. I just don't think Russell Wilson's good enough to beat the Dallas Cowboys. And looking at them play the other night, Trey, and until they play worse, I'm just going to keep picking them, man. They look good. And they played – the offensive line concerns me a little bit. Being on the road, I mean, they went to New York and handled it okay. You know, they survived. So Seattle's a loud place. Anything – I mean, that could affect the offensive line, Trey, the noise Seattle brings.
And this is the game where Tony Romo and the Cowboys have struggled in the past few years. They win a big game against a division rival, and they go on the road against an opponent they should beat, and they play awful. And so this is where we'll see if, you know, Kevin Ogletree and these receivers, are they going to be okay? Are they going to actually have what it takes for more than a week? We'll see, Tarvin, but this is the game that Dallas should win. So if they lose this game, you can maybe think Dallas was a one-game wonder.
Yeah. And Sonia Vincent in the chat room says Dallas. Chad Stevenson, Dallas. Brian Burgess, Dallas. Everybody's picking Dallas in that one, so not much of a surprise there. But now, Trey, let's move on to something that's why everybody's in this chat room right now, and hopefully it'll grow. We have 11 people in there. That's pretty good for a Wednesday night. But look, college football is up week 3. And, you know, a lot of people, I mean, their season's already burned right now. I'm looking at Auburn, looking at their season right now, Trey. It's number 10, this game, on our list. Louisiana Monroe just came off a big win against Arkansas, Trey. Mm-hmm. Coming in at Jordan Hare, morning game in Auburn. Who wins, man?
Well, I've heard, and the reason we put this on our list, and people are, why is Auburn on their list? I mean, and we got some of that feedback. Well, the reason is I've heard so much chatter, and not SEC people, not somebody, ESPN commentators, CBS commentators, talking about what if Louisiana Monroe wins this game? What if? How big? You know, that would be two SEC West wins. They're going to jump to be a ranked team. You know, and all this trash about Louisiana Monroe. And, you know, granted, Tarvin, I have been wrong about Auburn twice. So fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, not going to fool me again, right? Well, Auburn's favored, like, what, 16 points, Tarvin? They've only scored, like, what, 20? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of problems with why I see people are all over this game. I just don't see the reason why teams like Louisiana Monroe can win one but not two is because of the competition week in and week out. Auburn has certainly struggled. I think they get a lot of things right in this game. You know, the tackling issues are probably going to be a problem again in this game. I don't think it's going to be, you know, a 30-point blowout. I think they're going to see the Louisiana Monroe team score on Auburn. But I just don't see in the second half Louisiana Monroe being able to keep up with Auburn after playing such a hard game against Arkansas.
Well, I mean, the thing about Auburn, and there was a lot of Auburn fans with guns to their head Saturday and Sunday, Monday, you know, Tuesday even. So I think Wednesday some Auburn fans are starting to realize, hey, you know, let's support our team. I got so tired of hearing some of these Auburn fans just want to fire Gene Chizik, want to kill Kyle Frazier. And I don't know if anybody heard about this, but after the game Saturday, Kyle Frazier's dad was outside the locker room waiting on his son, where an Auburn fan came in and said that Kyle Frazier's dad said, is this a line to stone Kyle Frazier? And his dad, you know, told him, hey, I'm his dad, don't talk like that. The guy, you know, cussed Kyle Frazier's dad out and punched him in the nose. Now, this is what I heard, Trey. So I'm looking for Kyle Frazier to come at home. First game back at home in Auburn, first time this team's played. They desperately need to fix a lot of things. And when you play Clemson in a neutral site, Mississippi State on the road, it's just like you don't have that cupcake to try to iron it out early. So Auburn got exposed the first two games, Trey. Auburn knows what their weaknesses are. Everybody in the country knows what their weaknesses are. The question is, can they fix it? So do you think this can be fixed in order to get them back to their winning ways after Louisiana Monroe?
Yeah, I mean, and then this game is really important for Auburn because, you know, and you, as you well know and as all of our people listening know, Auburn's next two games aren't exactly easy. So here's the thing. Auburn's got to fix some things in this game. I know, you know, Brian Burgess in the chat room says Louisiana Monroe wasn't supposed to be on the same field with, you know, with Arkansas as well. But here's the thing. it's one thing to do it 1 week, Carvin. It's an entirely different thing to do it 2 weeks in a row. I think Louisiana Monroe will be competitive in the first half of this game, but I think Auburn will pull away.
Well, I think Auburn wins this game big, and they have to, you know. Jason says, how do they fix everything? And Jason, that's a hard thing. You know, you think you fix that stuff in practice. That's what you work on in the off season, all your camps. I don't know how you fix it, Jason, but when you make $3-4 million a year, you better learn how to fix it. So these guys have to have leadership traits. One thing I see out of Auburn right now, no identity, what they want to do on offense. They have 170-pound running backs trying to run a power offense. Their defense, they don't have a leader on it. I look for somebody to step up this week at home. And, you know, you need momentum because guess what, Trey? LSU is coming into town, a night game in Jordan-Hare the next week. So you need momentum of all kinds to come before you get into that game. So I like Auburn big.
Yeah, and I don't know. I don't like them big, Tarvin. I think they're going to win this game. But I don't think this is going to be, you know, a huge blowout. I think they're going to fix some things. But, Tarvin, I'm not saying they're going to fix everything I've seen be a problem.
They can't do that. No.
And it's going to be, I think, you know, you're going to see even more problems with the LSU game. So you're going to have, you know, fans who are going to be like, we didn't fix anything last week. Well, no, you're going to fix something. But you can't fix some of the major problems they're going to have. You know, Kyle Frazier's got a lot of decision-making problems to fix, and hopefully he's in there watching film for you guys because he's going to see a lot of his problems on film that he can correct for, you know, the next game.
Well, I'm looking at Kyle Frazier and everybody out there listening. We're about to get off Auburn, but when I watch him throw, when I watch him play, Trey, I just don't see any confidence whatsoever in his game, but I don't see him right now for some reason ability to read defenses, and that's hard to fix. I mean, it's just you either have that or you don't. You have to if you don't have it, you have to have a great coach that can help you bring it out. But Trey, when you have trouble reading defenses in the SEC, it's a nightmare, man. And I just don't know if they can fix that right off the bat. That's one thing I don't know.
Yeah, and a lot of times, Tarvin, that takes a lot of film work, and whether he's willing to put the extra work in after practice to go through film and go through, you know, each team's defensive schemes and, you know, where's the zone blitz coming from? What kind of blitzes does this team even do? How do they use their corners? You know, are they going to be a team that's up on our receivers? Are they going to be a team that lays back? What is it, you know? And if he's not doing that film work, Tarvin, which it doesn't look like he's doing right now, and that's going to be a problem. And some of it's a young guy progressing. Some of it is, you know, not putting in the work, and I don't know which one it is for him.
And I think the confidence factor, too. I mean, let's see how he plays. Let's see how he does, Trey, at home with the crowd on his side instead of against him. So for 2 weeks in a row, hostile environments. Even Atlanta was a neutral side. It was still hostile, trust me. And Starkville was nothing easier. So I want to see how he does. You know, it's a month from now Auburn goes on the road again. So they have Louisiana Monroe at home, LSU at home, a bye week, and Arkansas at home. Tough schedule, but at least they're at home. So I want to see him make whether we win or lose, all three of them, I want to see him get better every game to help us down the stretch and for next year. So right now it's about next year for Auburn. Play for next year. Play as hard as you can this year to win games, but you have to start working for the future now. You're not going to win the SEC. You're not going to win the West. You know, it's just – I mean, let's be realistic. You have to work for next year, Trey. Do not put red shirt on anyone. Play everybody. Play.
Absolutely.
All right, go on to the next one.
Well, number nine, Tarvin, we got Utah State 2-0 at Wisconsin, who, oh, by the way, got knocked completely out of the polls last week. Utah State beat a Pac-12 team in Utah, a rival. You know, this is, again, can a WAC team, can they do it 2 weeks in a row?
Wow, Trey, that's a tough one, man. What's the line on that game real quick? Wisconsin, Utah State, right?
Yep. Utah State at Wisconsin. And by the way, while you're looking that up, Tarvin, Monty Ball had his touchdown streak, but I think I looked at a stat this week, Tarvin, that Wisconsin is 109th in college football in rushing. in a Wisconsin team that makes their name on rushing to be not in the top 100 after 2 weeks. I mean, there are some significant problems at Wisconsin right now offensively. You know, whether Utah State can do, you know, beat another big opponent 2 weeks in a row, I don't know, Tarvin, but I know Wisconsin has big issues.
Big issues, man. And to see them 14-point favorites is just a head-scratcher. It's almost like you see Auburn 16, 17-point favorites. You're like, how? You know, how? I mean, you haven't showed me. Wisconsin hasn't shown me that they can score. I think those guys that beat Monty Ball took more than his hurt more than his body. I think this guy's mentally blocked. Wisconsin goes out, Trey, and fires their offensive line coach after 2 weeks. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, it's a quick pull, Tarvin, for a team that's had a lot of success. But, I mean, the stats don't lie. They cannot run the ball this year for some reason. And to have who everybody picked as a top five Heisman candidate, and people are still like, he's going to correct ship. There's something going on, and they haven't played competition yet. I mean, I'm sorry, Oregon State, you know, to me, watching that game, Tarvin, I didn't look at a team that was a really great Oregon State team. I looked at a team that played decent enough, and Wisconsin just looked awful.
Yeah, well, I think they have enough, Trey, at home to get past Utah State. I look for them to run the ball on Utah State. I don't think Utah State's that great. I watched them play last Friday night. They looked good at times. They were at home, but Utah looked terrible. And so I look at that game, and if Dan Alley's listening, I don't mean your team's terrible. You look terrible. I like Wisconsin.
Yeah, looking at the message board, I see a lot of Wisconsin. I saw one person pick Utah State. I'm going to make sure I get them right. Looks like Jason Minson actually said Utah State. So everybody else looks like they're picking Wisconsin. Tarvin, I think Wisconsin wins this game. But if they don't, I mean, you're talking about this is Wisconsin hasn't played their toughest part of their schedule yet. This is an important game for Wisconsin to get their offense back on track because you can't figure it out against the bigger opponents they play this year. They're not going to be able to run the ball and figure, you know, oh, let's figure out how to run. So I look for Monty Ball to get back on track and actually get in the end zone this week, which, you know, oh, by the way, he didn't get in the end zone last week. So I think Wisconsin wins this game, Tarvin, but I don't know that it's going to be a spread-type game. I think this could be a 10-point game.
Yeah, I mean, Utah State, sophomore quarterback, I mean, he showed poise the last year going on the road to Auburn, and, I mean, Auburn's made a lot of their quarterbacks look good on other teams, it seems like. But this kid's for real. He's a big kid. He's got a lot of confidence. Utah State's coached very well. And I wouldn't be surprised if they did pull the upset. But, Trey, Wisconsin, if they go 0-3, is the coach on the hot seat?
Yeah, it would be 1-3. They won their first game, or 1-2 to start off the season. I think if they lost to Oregon State and Utah State, I mean, there's some states that Wisconsin can lose to, but it's Ohio. I think that if they lose these two games in a row, you know, Wisconsin, who came in with all these expectations this year, and you know, I think you picked them to win the division, right?
I did.
Yeah, I mean,
but
we're talking about.
But I picked Ohio State to win the conference if they could play for it, though.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, you're talking about. I mean, they could if they lose these two games, Tarvin. This team could lose 5 or 6 games quick. I mean, so
yeah.
You know, he's gonna have to be on the hot seat if they have that kind of season.
Well, Trey, I'm going to bring in right now, it looks like he's on the line, Nathan, a Big Ten guy. And, Nathan, what do you think about Wisconsin this week?
Did I hear 14 points right? Is that what I heard? Yeah. I haven't actually looked at the spread. That's ridiculous.
That is accurate.
No, if you're going to take the points in any game this week, I take them in that one. I've gotten the opportunity to watch Wisconsin play, you know, both of their games this year, and they have not looked good at all in either of their games. I know they dropped out of the polls. I think they're sitting right around the others receiving votes, like 28, 29. The way they've looked, they don't look that good. Utah State, I know at times, you know, you and I both got to watch the game they had against Utah. They were playing that more, I think Utah State was, on energy and on emotion against Utah. And I think that might actually come back to haunt them against Wisconsin based on Wisconsin knows but they have to win this game. They have to. You could look at a team, you know, 2-2 heading into their September 29th Big Ten opener at Nebraska. You don't want to have a 2-2 team going to Nebraska. I think Wisconsin must win this game. I think they will. I think it'll be touchdown at most. You know, it'll be close. Wisconsin's just, they don't look good.
And Nathan, let me ask you this: what's the problem Wisconsin's having running the ball all of a sudden? I mean, this is a team that made their mark with Monty Ball, Heisman Trophy candidate, running the ball. Are they going to figure this out this week?
You know, you would hope so. Well, you might not hope so, but they would hope so. I don't know if already going in there and firing the offensive line coach was already the best idea. They don't look good anywhere. They don't look good running right at the middle. They don't look good between the tackles. They don't look good on, you know, zone plays, stretch plays. It's not Danny O'Brien. The guy has been, you know, accurate, efficient enough at quarterback. It's not him. You know, it's the offensive line. And I think it's really early to tell. You would say if history has spoken for itself that they would get it turned around, but you know it doesn't look promising at this point. They went from, you know, way below their average, you know, Northern Iowa, winning by 5 points, to not scoring a touchdown in the game until there were, what, a minute 26 or something like that left in the game against Oregon State. That Oregon State defense is not good. You know, they're not good.
No. Let me ask you this. I mean, is Monty Ball, I mean, you're a Big Ten guy. Is he still on your Heisman list at all?
No. I don't. The way that I watched him play the other day, he actually had more yards than the rushing yards would make you seem. They had a lot of negative rushing yards, and it wasn't his fault. He actually got up there in the rushing yards. But when I looked at it, you know, like Brian said, maybe it was, you know, whatever happened to him prior to the season. But you got to think Heisman Trophy candidates, Heisman Trophy contenders, Heisman Trophy winners, they have, you know, distractions. They have things that happen, and they have the mental and physical capabilities to get over that. And if that's what's keeping him down, he's definitely not, you know, a Heisman candidate. Right now you look at him and go, where does he even sit in the Big Ten leaders division, much less against, you know, you say it's like Le'Veon Bell at Michigan State, who right now looks like the best running back in the Big Ten and one of the best in the country.
Yeah. I agree.
Nathan, besides Michigan State and Ohio State, I'm not seeing anybody in the Big Ten that's really good. How is this hurting the perception of the Big Ten across the country right now with all of these losses here lately?
You know, I think that it hurts the Big Ten as much as it, this past weekend, as much as it helped the Pac-12. If you look at that, Nebraska and Wisconsin both traveled out there. People fail to realize that Illinois, they went out and they lost. And of course, Oklahoma State went out to Arizona and lost. Arizona, by the way, being ranked, I don't much agree with that, but that's not my the Big Ten's perception right now, coming into the season, people said, you know, you got the SEC, who is by and far the best conference in college football, and that's been the way since 2007 or 2006. But then you really thought the Big Ten was right there. And a lot of people thought they might make the jump. They thought that Nebraska was going to come in and have a better year. They thought Michigan State with their defense, you know. But going out there and losing those games and playing the way that those top-tier Big Ten teams have, Alabama getting absolutely manhandled last week, Nebraska going out there giving up, you know, the second-most yards in the history of their program and losing UCLA. And then, of course, you know, Wisconsin looking absolutely awful on offense. The Big Ten right now, they're sitting behind. I mean, you got to think, without Michigan State and Ohio State, they'd be the Big East right now. And it doesn't look good.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. And tomorrow night we'll break down a little bit more of the Big Ten, but I want to thank you for calling in, and we'll talk to you tomorrow night, bud.
Yeah, that sounds great. Thanks for letting me get on here again real quick. Look forward to talking to you guys tomorrow night.
All right. Thank
you. Call back in or hit one back in, Nathan, if we hit something else you want to talk about.
Yep, exactly. Good point. But, Trey, before we move on, there's something that he said that just kind of triggered what I thought about the other day. You know, before the season started, I thought the Pac-12 was just Oregon, Southern Cal. But after watching football the last couple of weeks, I have seen Arizona State. They look like a pretty good team, Trey. Arizona is somebody that can sneak up on you. So what is your perception of the Pac-12 now after 2 weeks compared to after the first one?
Yeah, and you and I talked about this in our show last week, and we said that, hey, this past weekend was going to really be the barometer for the Pac-12. Are they as good as, you know, some of the West Coast? And I'm out here on the West Coast, the people think. And I got to tell you, Tarvin, yeah, I think they are. I think they're the clear second best conference now behind the SEC, of course. But they really showed something. They went out and beat a lot of teams. They beat two ranked teams last week who they weren't supposed to beat, Tarvin. You know, Wisconsin and Oklahoma State. So in two different conferences. So, you know, you got to look at two unranked Pac-12 teams beat two ranked opponents in different conferences. That means something when you talk about overall conference, you know, who's the best conference. I mean, they're not anywhere near the SEC yet, but, you know, they're clear number two right now, Tarvin, to me.
I totally agree, and I am amazed. I mean, UCLA getting it done. I mean, I had a lot of respect for Nebraska after they beat Southern Miss's eyes out, and I thought, you know, Nebraska would probably win the game, but the game that shocked me the most was Arizona. The way they beat Oklahoma State and the way Arizona State's playing, those guys are good. They beat Illinois like a drum, and Illinois is not a powerhouse, but they're a decent team, Dre. The Pac-12, the Oregon and Southern Cal fans are just thinking it's going to be just them all the way. They better think again, because you go to Arizona at night or Arizona State or Beaver Stadium, I mean, you're in trouble, man. It's not as easy as it looks, and I was wrong. I'll be the first to admit. Hey, you know, I said Oregon, Southern Cal the whole way, but I see some roadblocks, man. I see a lot of them.
Yeah, there's going to be some trap games in there for now, for sure.
All right, let's move on.
You know, moving on, Tarvin, looking at our number eight game, we're right there in great transition. Pac-12, Arizona State, 2-0, traveling to SEC country, Missouri 1-1. Arizona State destroyed Illinois in the Big Ten last week, and Missouri looked very vulnerable against Georgia in the second half, Tarvin. Does the Pac-12 get another notch on the old belt by taking out an SEC school this week on the road?
See, Arizona State's a different team when they're at home. They play lights out. You play them at home at night, they're tough to beat, but I think it's going to be hard to go to Missouri after a loss and beat them. I don't know if their defense is good enough to stop Franklin, but the line is 7, and I think they cover the 7, Trey. I'll put it that way.
So you think they cover, but you don't think they win?
I think they lose by a field goal or so. I just don't think they can get it done on the road.
Well, here's where not so fast, Tarvin. Missouri got exposed a little bit in the second half, and they put so much pressure on that game, Tarvin. That was Missouri fans, the team of Missouri. This was going to be their SEC. They're going to show the world they belong. Well, they showed the world they don't really belong yet. They got kind of the second half, they got handed by Georgia and the Bulldogs. I think that
left them.
Old
man football, Trey. It's all that old man football, right?
Yeah, well, old man football will smash you in the mouth in the SEC, and that's what happened to Missouri in the second half. I think they're a little let down, Tarvin, and I think if that let down, I think it's going to affect them in the very first part of this game, the first half. I think Arizona against State's going to take an early lead against Missouri, and then they're going to hold off, and they're going to beat Missouri.
Wow, bold prediction. That's a good one, though. I mean, Arizona State's better than what I thought. I have to give you that.
And I think Missouri is a little bit worse than we all think. I think they got a little hype because they're coming into the SEC. You know, their quarterback, I'm telling you, Tarvin, I wasn't that impressed with Franklin against Georgia. He looked scattered. He had happy feet half the time. He threw the ball into bad situations. And, you know, he didn't get some of the turnovers that he probably should have. And those type of throws sometimes can get you beat. So I think if he plays the way he did against Georgia, and I think he will, he's going to get beat.
All right. Well, let's go to the next one.
All right. So, Tarvin, the next one, I Louisville has looked real good in their first two games. They look like, so far, the clear Big East favorite, and I know they're Big East team, but they have looked pretty good in two straight games. And they got North Carolina, who I thought a lot of, Tarvin. They were supposed to be a surprise team. They went and got beat by Wake Forest last week. What do you think about, Hannah, the ACC make a statement in this game against the number 19 Cardinals?
I think Louisville is the only Big East team that's for real, and I just think North Carolina is not as great as we thought, Trey, and so we have to look at this game, and Louisville's at home. I mean, they're playing very well. Charlie Strong's coaching them up. I like Louisville to be able to run the ball on North Carolina a little bit and to take over this game. I like Louisville this year. They're not a bad team.
You know, I really have grown more and more fond of the coach at Louisville. He's really put together a really strong program there. And I think they're getting overlooked because they're a Big East target. Now, I think that – I don't know they're going to have a much of an issue in this game. I think, unfortunately, you know, that loss last week is going to set North Carolina back, despite the fact they've had some pretty decent recruiting classes, and they should be better than losing to Wake Forest last week. I think Louisville wins this game by about 10.
Okay, let's go on to the next one.
All right.
A little interest to you right here. This game's very important to you.
Yeah, this is you know, not just a homer pick, Tarvin, but this is the trap game. Unranked 2-0 Wake Forest at number 5 Florida State, and Wake Forest has been the rattlesnake, you know, on the trail for the Seminoles walking by. They have been biting Florida State. So is this an upset alert for the number 5 Noles, Harvin?
No, not at all. I mean, Florida State's going to come in. You know, they didn't even get to play a full game against Savannah State last week, so they're a little hungry, getting ready for the game. They're 28-point favorites, and I think they win. They cover that easy. Wake Forest is terrible.
You know, I agree with you, Tarvin. I think Nathan Walters says 37-13. That's about where I predict. I think that Florida State, I'm not sure they cover 28 points, Tarvin. Is that what you said, 28?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that we cover. I think that we're going to win this game, but we're not going to cover.
Well, it's a morning game. It's a noon Eastern kickoff. You know those games, Florida State, they usually don't do well. And those, it's tricky. I mean, Wake Forest is they're a well-coached team, Trey, but they're not very good, and especially when you start looking at talent, matching them up. Florida State's just way too good, but, hey, they could be looking ahead to Clemson.
Yeah, and, you know, you mentioned a good point. Obviously, you know, we know, or Florida State has realized that they struggle at this noon game. So Jimbo Fisher has been practicing them, starting practice at noon, to sort of get them better at playing in a noon game. So hopefully for the Noles, and I think it will, this is going to show up, and they're going to go up early on Wake Forest and not let up.
All right. The next one, Smelly wants us to wait to talk about Bama. So that was our next game. So let's skip the Bama game, Trey, and go to the next one.
All right. Well, just so we're clear, we're skipping number 5, number 1 Alabama at Arkansas. So we'll come back to our number 5 game. We're not moving you up on our list. Number 4, Tarvin, I've heard all about this game from you. Number 14, 2-0, Hook'em Horns, Texas, travels to 2-0 Ole Miss.
Well, man, and if anybody thinks that Ole Miss is just going to lay down in this game, they're mistaken. I watched Ole Miss play, and I promise you, I've been laughing at Ole Miss for years. And looking at them now, they look a lot better than they have in years past. And new offensive philosophy. Texas, though, what has Texas done in the last few years, really, to make people think they're a 10-point favorite in this game? I think the public's looking at this game, Trey, and saying Texas easy. But I'm looking at this game saying Texas better be very careful coming into Oxford in this game. I'm not saying Ole Miss wins the game, but I'm saying it's a high possibility that they could. So I'm taking the 10 points in Ole Miss.
Well, not so fast, Tarvin. I mean, Ole Miss has played nobody. I think they played my high school team. They've not played any competition. The Horns have played
UTEP.
I think my high school team is called UTEP. No, I'm just kidding. You know, Texas has played Wyoming and New Mexico, so they haven't been gangbusters either. I think the Longhorns win this game, Tarvin. I think they're going to cover, but they're not going to run away. I think it's going to be about a 13 or 14-point game. I think Ole Miss is going to get down and come back in the game and try to make it a game late. But I think Texas is going to go up a couple touchdowns at first.
Who was it Ole Miss played last year early in the season? Was it Texas? Who was it Ole Miss almost beat last year? And they turned it over a couple of times. It was somebody in the Big 12. I can't remember exactly who it was. But Texas D is good, but Ole Miss at home, Texas with no offense. I'm thinking it's closer than what people think, Trey. That's all I'm going to say. I'll have to wait closer to game time to see if I'll wake up Saturday morning with that gut feeling of an upset. But right now, I'm taking that 10 points.
Well, yeah, so, I will say this about it being in Oxford. I mean, I've been to Oxford. I've seen a game there. I mean, it is not a big, rowdy stadium. It is a smaller stadium. It is not what you would consider a good home field advantage for an SEC type of environment. So, you know, I don't think the away from the game is going to be a crowd noise problem for Texas. I mean, this is not a stadium where that's an issue.
Well, let's move back and let's go back to Alabama now. Let's go backwards. The number, what was it, 6-5 game, Bama at
five,
Arkansas,
correct? Yep. Bama at Arkansas. Tarvin, this was game day's location before Louisiana Monroe took the field against Arkansas. This was going to be a marquee showdown. And then Louisiana Monroe happened. So now everyone's saying this could get real ugly. No indications that Tyler Wilson's going to play, Tarvin. Niles Davis for Arkansas has not looked good running the football. He has not looked like a Heisman. And I heard he was a dark horse candidate. He hasn't looked anything near that. So what do you think? Does Arkansas get it together, or is this just another Alabama rolling along?
Well, I mean, honestly, I mean, if Tyler Wilson does not play, I mean, Arkansas is going to get killed. If Tyler Wilson does play, Arkansas is going to get killed. So, I mean, it's one of those games where is it really worth the health of a quarterback to put him in this game? Because you know Nick Saban, what he's going to do, and these corners and linebackers, they're going to put pressure, and they're going to beat him like they did last year. Do you really want to put a kid with promise in that situation after with any kind of possibility of, you know, getting in trouble? You know, if he gets hit, he could end his career. And he took a beating last year, Trey. Do you remember that game in Tuscaloosa?
Yeah.
He got hit like 85 times. And and his pride made him keep getting up. I became a Tyler Wilson fan after that, after I saw him do it. But, Trey, I don't think if you're Arkansas, you don't play this guy. This game's going to be ugly. It's going to be something like 38-10, and that's what it's going to be.
Yeah, I mean, Tarvin, I saw a lot of Arkansas and SEC folks commenting about Arkansas's loss, saying it was only because Tyler Wilson was out of the game. Well, that is completely untrue if you watch that game. They blew a lead in this game. It was not only an offensive performance in the second half, Tarvin, it was a huge ineptitude on defense. And guess what, Tarvin? A.J. McCarron has, like, the best passer rating in college football right now. Oh, by the way, he's a pretty good quarterback that no one's talking about. And I think Alabama wins this. I don't care if Wilson plays or not. That may affect how many points that Arkansas can score, but they're still going to lose by 2-3 touchdowns in this game.
Yeah, the defense, and that's what I'm looking at, too. I mean, first of all, if Wilson doesn't play, they have no chance to move the ball. And second of all, how are they going to stop Alabama's offense? And their defense couldn't stop Louisiana Monroe. And so that's a perfect point, Trey, that helped me factor into this decision either way. Arkansas's defense is not good at all. I mean, it's bad. And it got exposed. So this was supposed to be circled, like you said, as the game of the year almost in the SEC West, one of them. And now it's turned into where College Game Day is like, we're going to go to Tennessee and Florida. Much better game than the Alabama-Arkansas.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this game is going to get ugly pretty fast.
All right, let's go on to the next one.
Hold on, Trey.
Before we go, I think I had a missed studio. Sonia, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hey, what's up, man?
How you doing?
Fine. I just wanted to say Bama's going to win. That's all. Y'all have a good night. Go Hide.
All right. Well, thanks for the insight, guys.
No, I know you guys had moved on. I had jumped off cue because I noticed you had game.
Well, I didn't. I took my eyes off the studio just for a second, and then I switched it back, and I saw you take the number one down, so I wanted to bring you back on. Anything you want to share about the game?
Besides everything that you guys have already said, you got to understand something. With the mistakes that our D and our O-line made last week, Nick's going to be on their butt this week. So they're going to be punishing Arkansas for all the crap.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think you're right, Sonya. I mean, I just don't see any way around the end result of them getting killed. So
they just need to sit them out, take the L, and save them for later on.
Hey, that's the smartest thing to do. I mean, this time of year with your defense and your offensive uncertainties, you're right. Why risk the kids' health when you get past Alabama and you look at the rest of their schedule? Arkansas has a shot to win all of those games, and what they can hope for is Alabama to slip up and lose a couple. So the odds are better with that than him coming in and playing Saturday.
Exactly, and you just stated exactly what Jason and I were just talking about, and I'm like, why put him in? You know Alabama's going to be hungry. You know our D is going to bring it. Our O-line's already better. Offense, AJ's a much better quarterback, much more accurate. So why even try to fight? Just give it up, save him for the rest of the season, take the L, and be done with it.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, this is a game but John L. Smith is not the smartest quarterback or coach in the world, excuse me. So I'm interested to see if you care anything about this kid and the future of your team, you do not play him in this game.
That's right. But it's Bama, so go ahead and move to the next one. I just want to say hey, and congrats again, Trey. I saw the pictures of your baby. Adorable. He's cute.
And the next game, Tarvin, is the one that I'm really looking forward to watching, Tennessee, Florida.
Oh, yeah. That's a big one.
Game I want to watch.
I think we're almost through that game.
Real.
Well, all right, Jason and Sonya, thank y'all very much for calling in and call back in.
All right, ladies.
All right, see y'all later.
Bye-bye.
I've been taking my eye off the studio for a moment, and Trey, I saw I accidentally cut you off, and I didn't get Sonya and him's calling time, so sorry, guys. I'll do a better job on the studio. Take us into the next game.
Number three, and Tarvin, the last three games are all ranked games, meaning that both opponents are ranked, which is exciting. This is where college football starts to weed out the pretenders from the real teams who are competing. So number three, Tarvin, we got number two, the Trojans of USC traveling to Stanford, who is surprisingly 2-0 and ranked number 21 in the country. Can the Cards put up a legitimate showing, Tarvin? I mean, they beat Duke last week. They didn't look so hot in week one. USC didn't look too great against Syracuse. They had actually they got exposed a little bit for some weaknesses. So what do you have in this game, Tarvin?
Well, I think this is the game that Southern Cal wakes up and actually looks good in this game. I don't think Stanford's offense is good enough to really score with Southern Cal. Now, last year they were. I mean, they had a great quarterback. This year I don't think Stanford's as good as people think they are. I think Southern Cal, with their offense and their defense, actually will stand up. I don't think depth will hurt them this game like it would against Oregon. I look for Southern Cal to win big, Trey.
Yeah, the message board, let's see, we got Sonia has got USC. Jason Minson's got USC, but barely. Jason Humphrey says upset alert. Nathan Walters says 38-35 Southern Cal.
Whoa.
So
what is that? That was last year's score, wasn't it? Almost.
Yeah, I'll be honest, Tarvin. Dan Alley has USC by 20. I agree with Dan, Tarvin. I just don't see Stanford ready to compete. I know that USC didn't look great, but that score wasn't exactly close by the end of the game. So I think USC wins by three scores, Tarvin. And this game's not going to be that close really at any point other than the beginning of the game.
Yeah, I'm with you and Dan on that one, and it's just going to be. And Brian Burgess says 21. I think we're on the same page in that one, because I just don't think they'll be able to slow Southern Cal down at all. And payback's on Matt Barkley's mind, Trey, from last year.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Matt Barkley has a good game. I think he's probably going to put up some Heisman numbers in this game and try to put himself back in the front runner. I think he has a good statistical game, Tarvin.
Rob Burgess says Stanford really sucks. So to put it down. All right, we're going to move on to the next one. That's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I mean, and this is where a lot of people are going, like, why don't you have this number one, Brian and Trey? Why is Florida at Tennessee not your number one game? It's because Florida is ranked 18th in the nation, Tennessee ranked 23rd. This is where game day is, and I think it's actually a miss for game day to be here. But the Gators have sort of struggled, Tarvin. They won it against Bowling Green. They beat A&M close. And the Vols have looked really good with a legitimate kid named Patterson, which I cannot think of any better name for a great receiver. What do you think, Carvin, about Tennessee at home against a team they really have struggled against the past few years?
Well, I think the difference in this game will be the hunger of Tennessee and the fans. I mean, Knoxville, College Game Day is going to be there. Last few years, College Game Day didn't come near Tennessee. Now, Tennessee is 2-0, one of the best quarterbacks in the conference, a JUCO receiver that came out of nowhere, an offense that looks very, very good, and a defense is playing better. So, I mean, Florida, perfect time to play Florida. They're still trying to find their identity, really. I don't think Florida has enough weapons, really, offensively, to be able to score with Tennessee in this game. It's going to be interesting to see. I like Tennessee to get it done by a field goal, Trey.
Yeah, and the message board, see, Dan Alley's got Tennessee 24, Florida 20. Sonia's got the Vols. Jason asked a good question. He said, this is the measuring stick for Tennessee. Are they for real? And I think we're going to see this is the measuring stick for absolute certainty for Tennessee, because they had such problems with Florida throughout the last few years. Jason Humphrey says Vols. And Nathan Walters says 28-21 Tennessee. Sonia says, hey, Florida beat the Aggies by luck. Vols, Brian Burgess, Tennessee by 3. So, you know, everyone seems to have Tennessee, Carvin, and I agree. I don't see Florida, and, you know, they had the whole College Game Day pressure of last week. And, again, you know, A&M, their first game, Florida ended up getting that win. It was a scrappy-type performance. From Florida's offense. They got a lot of speed on offense. They don't seem to know how to use it just yet, Carvin. I think that's going to come throughout the season. They're going to get better and better on offense. But I think Tennessee seems to have be clicking right now with a passing game with you know, this Patterson kid and Tyler Bray. I think Tennessee wins this game by less than 7 points. I think this is going to be a statement game for Tennessee, and they're going to get over that hump that they've had against Florida the last few years. And maybe next week we can have a non-Florida College Game Day game, but I think Tennessee wins this game.
Well, Trey, you remember before the season started, we both had Tennessee, a much improved team, and they were my dark horse to win the East. So if they win this game, Trey, well, what are the chances of winning the East? With South Carolina with a lame quarterback now maybe and Georgia standing in their way, what do you think of their chances of getting to Atlanta if they win?
Well, I mean, certainly this is going to be an improvement for Tennessee. I mean, the East seems to be becoming open, Tarvin. So we'll see. I mean, I'm not sure they're going to get there. I mean, South Carolina is still my favorite to win, even with Connor Shaw's injury. And just a comment, Tarvin. Looks like we do have a hater in the message board. Blah21 says this is the worst radio show he's ever heard. So I'm going to go ahead and disagree with him as well.
Well, Blah21, there comes a time in life when you grab your balls and you actually give your real name, because, I mean, message boards and people with fake names, it's obviously pretty good or you wouldn't be here, buddy. So, Blah, welcome to the show. I know you're a closet fan of Way In Sports, so welcome. It's okay. You don't have to use your real name, buddy.
I think he's probably a competitor, you know, Carvin, trying to get. And so I'm going to challenge Blah21 to call in and tell us what we're getting wrong, because our show is about more than just our opinions. Call on, give us your opinion. So I challenge you to do that.
Yeah, Blah21, if your mom can hand them to you from her purse, dial the number. Grab your balls, dial the number. Come on in. We're waiting on you, buddy. I'll be waiting. So let's go on to the next one.
He calls us two rednecks. So just so you know, Block 21, I am not in. I'm not in the South. I'm out in Las Vegas. So, all right, number one game, Tarvin. I do love the hate. Number one,
oh,
I think this is where College Game Day should be. Number 20, Notre Dame at number 10, Michigan State. And I'm going to expect to hear from Quinn on this one, Tarvin. These games, only game where two top 20 teams are facing off against each other, Tarvin. Notre Dame dominated Navy. They struggled against Purdue. MSU has serious quarterback issues, Tarvin, but they beat a solid Boise State team, and they dominated Central Michigan last week, and the quarterback seemed to improve a little bit. What do you think?
Well, interesting game. I think it's honestly two teams that are overrated and getting a lot of love right now. I think Michigan State's a better team. I think they're better than Notre Dame, and I think being at home and kind of a quarterback controversy at Notre Dame, I want Michigan State at home to get it done.
What do you think in the Sparty land, Tarvin? How close is this game going to be, though?
Well, it's always a close game. I mean, it's one of those games that just seems like it's right there till the end. I think Michigan State wins this game by 4 points.
You know, Nathan Walters tells me that Boise State is not a solid team. And I think Boise State is a solid team. And I think the Michigan State playing them off the very start of the season helped them get some of their identity in offense and to get their quarterback, because he looks so bad at times in that game. But it helped them figure out they do have a star, and that's Levontre Bell. He has been phenomenal for Michigan State. And I think that his rushing game and his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield helped Sparty win this game, Tarvin. I think this is going to be a razor-thin game, probably the best game of the day, Tarvin. I think Michigan State wins in maybe a one-point game.
Wow. That's a close one, Trey. Being at home, though, is a definite difference in this game, I think. But it seems like in this game, I mean, looking at the past, you got to look at history. It doesn't matter. I mean, you remember the coach had a heart attack for Michigan State on that fake punt to beat Notre Dame a couple of years ago. And then what happened last year? Michigan State won pretty good, right?
Yeah, it was a pretty good –
Well, I'm still waiting for Blah to call in. I don't see him in the queue.
That's unfortunate.
I do, but hold on, Trey. We got somebody that wants to come on. His name is Quinn. I think Quinn might be Blah 21. What do you think?
let's see what he has to say.
Quinn, are you Blah 21?
Nope.
Okay, good.
But
good.
I would have to. Notre Dame's the one that handed it to Michigan State last year. Notre Dame won 31-13.
Okay. Well, thanks for clearing that up for us, because I couldn't remember.
Yep. I think it's going to be another close game. I think it'll come down to a field goal.
So people in the chat room are saying Notre Dame sucks, Quinn. What do you have to say about that?
We'll see. These next 2 weeks are good tests. People aren't going to say that no matter what, so.
Who does Notre Dame play next week?
After this week, they play Michigan, and that's when I want to get talking with Rick.
That's probably Rick. Like Sonya and Jason or Sonya said in the chat room, that Blah 21 was probably Rick. So,
you think
I don't
it
know.
Wasn't Rick? Rick seemed pretty cool with you guys, so I don't know if it would be Rick.
I don't know. It could be anybody out there, but anybody that refuses to give their name.
It could be somebody on the college football discussion page that doesn't like you.
Quinn, there's nobody in the world that doesn't like me, man. What are you talking about?
I don't like you, Tarvin.
I hate you too, man.
So, Quinn, let me ask you, what's the key to Notre Dame's success in this game? What gets them the W in your mind?
Well, the secondary has to play better because it could be bad if the defensive backs aren't playing too well and they're just letting Maxwell pass all over them. But I think our offense also has to do pretty well.
Yeah,
they just need to not turn the ball over.
It's going to be a good one, and we'll make sure Sunday night, Quinn, you come back, give us your analysis, assessment of this game. It's going to be Trey's going to be an interesting weekend to see who's right and wrong in this one. But, Quinn, thanks for the call, bud, and we'll see you Sunday
night.
Yeah,
I'll call in tomorrow night about the Bear-Packer game.
Oh, good. I'll be waiting for you. Let's do it. And I also heard you've been calling me a Packer lover or whatever it was.
Hold on. I have to see what I exactly said. I said that Ryan Tarvin and Trey Patterson have a secret crush on Green Bay.
A secret crush? There's no secret about it. What are you talking about?
I'm a straight up Packer lover, okay? I'm a Packer fan.
Oh yeah, that explains it all.
All right, man. Well, Quinn, man, we'll talk to you tomorrow night, bud. You have a good night.
All right. Bye. All right,
Trey, you put on there quote of the night, Tarvin is a Packer lover.
Yep.
You're funny, man. That is funny. Anything else you want to add before we go tonight?
Just real quick. Yeah, hopefully we're all keeping track, and hopefully somebody wants to come forward and be our check down, who can check you and I on our predictions and our rant. So I will say, Tarvin, that we don't talk about baseball a whole lot, but the baseball has been real entertaining lately. I think it's going to even get more entertaining. We'll talk about it as we get real close, and we still got a couple of weeks left. But right now, there's the Rays and the Orioles are breathing down the Yankees' neck, which is a very interesting and very awesome series. That Oriole Rays game is going on right now, so we'll see. It's 2-2. What do you think? Who comes out of that division, Tarvin?
I think Tampa does. And looking at the Tigers up 3-1 on the White Sox, they'll cut it to one game in this division with a win tonight. Man, it's just going to be exciting in the AL, at least the AL. I know the NL will, but you still like the Yankees because of their favorable schedule, right?
Yeah, I still think the Yankees have a favorable schedule. They're getting some guys back healthy, and that's going to probably play a key in the Yankees winning. I think the Rays and Orioles just have a little bit of a tough time going through the rest of their schedule, and I think that's going to hurt both teams down the road. And the Rays still seem to be struggling offensively at times, and that's never good when you're facing some tough opponents like they're going to be facing. The Angels seem to be getting hot, and the Rays are going to play them the rest of the way too. So I think the Yankees because of the schedule.
Yeah, and the Braves tonight are losing, 8-2 to the Brewers. I just hope the Braves don't collapse like they've done in years past, Trey. Any chance the Braves collapse and not even make a wild card?
I don't think so, Tarvin. Looking at their road ahead, they don't play. I think they have one series against any team who's in the playoff hunt. So, I know they're struggling against the Brewers, but the Brewers are actually real hot, and they're actually – along with the Phillies, getting real close to being in the playoff hunt. So, I look at the Brewers as kind of a team that could be there. But some of their other games, Tarver, are not going to be too difficult, and they should actually pull off two. Be able to win some of these series by winning two or three every three games. That's going to help them stay afloat in the wild card. There's no way they catch the Nationals, though.
So, Trey, let's talk about the Nationals a second. I just still can't get over it. Why in the world? I mean, the Nationals are not the Yankees. They're not. They never make the playoffs. They're never even close. The year they're there and they have a team that could make some noise, they've shut this kid down, Steven Strasburg. Why would you do that?
Well, here's my – I get why they shut him down. But I think I saw this article. I can't claim this is my idea, but I think it's probably the best analysis I've seen of the Steven Strasburg situation. And it's by looking at how the Braves handled Chris Medlin. They both came off Tommy John surgery around the same time. In fact, I think Medlin had his after Strasburg. So how did the Braves handle Medlin, which allows him to be in the rotation? And if you look at what he's doing for the Braves right now, he has been their anchor. He's been their guy who breaks losing streaks. So how did the Braves get it right? When I think is, you know, this analysis got it right, and how did you know the Nationals maybe get it wrong? Well, they started Medlin off in the pen for a couple of months and allowed him to slowly work his way in. Now, that would have been terribly unpopular for the Nationals to do because everybody wants Strasburg in the rotation, but it would have allowed Strasburg to pitch in the postseason, which is where you want him. So I don't know that turning him off, Tarvin, at this point is the wrong decision. I just think they could have handled it better by handling it the way the Braves handled Medlin. So I think that's the way they should have handled it and had Strasburg for the postseason. I think that would have been the difference, and probably maybe having the Nationals being a team that wins it all this year if they had Strasburg pitching in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, the Nationals are showing that they're really protecting their investment more than winning right now. So I give them credit for that in a way, but I mean, I wonder how hard Strasburg has fought them to say, hey, I want to pitch. I've made it this far. And can the Nationals win without him, Trey? Can they get in the playoffs and win without him anchoring that staff?
Well, you know, you can't forget that they have another guy in that rotation by the name of Gio Gonzalez, and I know I talked about him last week, who is 19 wins, is right now probably an inch above R.A. Dickey and Craig Kimbrell for the Cy Young right now. So they have a guy who they can rely on. I mean, Detweiler has an ERA that was below Strasburg. And so they have guys who have pitched really well this year. But I think when you come down to the series that in a postseason, you wanted Strasburg taking down someone's number one because he's the fireball who can get you that win. You know, Gio Gonzalez had a great year, but I don't like him matching up against other folks' number one. He's been a great pitcher this year, but, you know, if I had to pick between him and Strasburg going two times in a seven-game series, it's clear Strasburg is the way I'd go.
Yeah, definitely. And like someone said on the message board, the Angels are the most disappointing team in baseball this year. I have to agree. I mean, by far, the Angels have led a lot of people down, Trey, including me.
Well, you know, an interesting stat is some of the teams who have paid the most for their rosters have a shot of not making the postseason. The Angels is one of those teams. But, you know, watch out for the Angels right now. They're actually extremely hot, Tarvin, and they're hot at the right time. Now, the West is – they're clearly on the outs in the West. They have a really tough road because the A's have had their number. They're 7.5 back from Texas. I don't see them catching that at all. But in the wild card's a little different story, Tarvin. The Angels – are in a much different position for the wild card. They're only 2.5 back, Tarvin, and the wild card in the AL is insane. You have Detroit's 5 back, Angels 2, Tampa 2, Angels 2.5, Tampa 2, and the Yankees, Baltimore, and Oakland all tied. This is going to get interesting. I still think I think based on the schedule that Oakland's going to struggle down the stretch, and I think that the Angels have a shot to slide in, but I don't think they get there, Tarvin. I think they're going to end up being one of the, you know, a huge roster of hundreds of millions of dollars of pay, and they're going to be watching the postseason.
I'll tell you what, Bobby Valentine is going off on this umpire right now. He is. if you're not watching it, turn to ESPN and watch Bobby Valentine's show. He still cares about his team. He's taking his frustration of the entire year out on this one poor umpire that's sitting here just chewing his gum looking at him. He came and walked up to him and said, did you throw me out of the game? And then he just went off on him. So congrats to Bobby Valentine for pulling a Bobby Cox and getting ejected from the game. Good job.
And just so you know, Tarvin, talking about Strasburg, his replacement, John Lannon, is 3-0 and through 5 2/3 shutout baseball tonight as the Nats shut out the Mets. So, you know, even their replacement for Strasburg is pitching pretty well as he's 3-0 in the season.
Yeah, and Jason says that hockey starts in a week. Hockey training camp starts in a week. Jason, that's one sport that if you want to talk about, you're going to have to call in because I know nothing about it, man. So if you ever want to talk hockey, call in, educate us. Trey, anything else before we go, bud?
Nope, that's it, man. Good show, and you know, look forward to seeing what happens this weekend.
Yeah, everybody in the chat room, thanks for listening, and I know our show sucks, but, you know, I appreciate y'all staying with us, and keep in touch. Tomorrow night we're going to do a quick show, and Sunday night our regular show. Make sure you join it. Shug Jordan Parkway is in the chat room. They have a show. I think they changed it up. I don't want to say the wrong nights, but they have a great show. If you like, they don't just talk college football or Auburn. It's Shug Jordan Parkway, great radio show. They talk a lot of good sports, so catch them out on Blog Talk Radio. Trey, have a great week, and we will see everyone tomorrow night.
See you, Carmen.
See you, bud.